Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I am going to talk about field evaluations of lead transfer from urban soils to vegetables. So first we'll look at whether doing research on urban soils and transfer of lead from urban soils to vegetables is worthwhile. So we can find that out by looking at the urban population. So by the year of 2050, it is estimated that there will be 70% of urban population with compared to the total population in the world. And more importantly, according to current statistics, 15% of the world's food is coming from urban areas. And if you look at the common properties of urban soils, usually the original soil chemical, physical and biological properties has been altered in urban soils due to various anthropogenic activities. And presence of artifacts is very common in urban soils. Usually we find high bulk density and low soil organic matter, microbial biomass and nutrient content. And it is very important to keep in mind, and it is very important to be aware about, that these sites might be contaminated with potentially toxic contaminants. And lead is one of the most significant and most commonly found contaminant in urban soil. So I'll be talking about lead from this point onwards. So, lead concentration in soils is highly correlated with blood lead levels in children, and considerable number of children in the US are believed to have blood lead level more than 10 micrograms per deciliter of blood, and this is the targeted blood lead level among young children. And EPA has imposed another standard for lead concentration in soil, that is in play areas, 400 milligrams of lead per kilograms of soil. And lead has two exposure pathways. The most important exposure pathway is direct exposure pathway. That means lead is transferring from soil to human directly. So this is called soil ingestion, and children are the most susceptible category into this exposure pathway. And the indirect exposure pathway is also important, and soil lead will be transferred from soil to plants or vegetables, and by eating or consuming these vegetables, humans can get lead into their body. And it has been found that bioavailability of lead, soil lead, is largely depends on lead speciation, and scientists had tried to modify lead speciation by adding different amendments, and they have found the effects of adding amendment on changing or reducing bioavailability of lead is highly site specific. So it is very important to do site specific studies in order to get some effectiveness on reducing bioavailability of lead in urban soils. So our main objective was to find out the effectiveness of applying compost on reducing bioavailability of lead, especially in moderately contaminated urban soils. And we will be looking at effect of vegetable types on lead uptake. And thirdly, the importance of cleaning of vegetables grown in lead contaminated urban soils to reduce food lead transfer through fruit chain. And this is the Washington Wheatley Kansas City site that I'll be talking about more in this presentation. And the first thing we are doing with the site is we screen the site for potentially toxic contaminants by using X-ray fluorescence analyzer. And with this site, we found the site is contaminated with lead, and lead concentrations are moderately high. So none other toxic chemicals were high enough in concentrations to cause any adverse health effects. So this map shows distribution of total lead in milligrams per kilogram, and the total lead concentration varied from 58 or 60 milligrams per kilogram to 300 milligrams per kilogram. So from this site, we selected a hot spot or a place where we can find high concentration compared to other places of the site to establish our test plot in the year 2008. And we had RCBD arrangement there with a split plot design. The design is RCBD, and we had a split plot arrangement. And this picture shows the test plot in Washington Wheatley site. And this sketch is a block, and for half of the block, we added compost. We use locally available leaf compost and mix with top 15 centimeter so that we can achieve soil to compost ratio of 3:1 in volume basis. And we planted tomato, Swiss chard and carrot. So these are the plant varieties I used, and we did some basic chemical analysis like soil pH, NPK and soil organic matter content. So other than that, we did soil total lead, and we followed 3051 EPA method using nitric acid and microwave digestion unit, and finally the digestate was run in ICP OES. So with every batch of digestion, we included standard reference materials and blanks as quality control measures. So other than those analyses, we did simplified physiologically based extraction test. We call it PBET, and this will give us the bioaccessible lead concentration. That means the concentration, the portion of lead that will be available through direct exposure pathway. And here we use gastric solution as the extraction solution, and the pH, initial pH was adjusted to 2.5, and we shake that at 37 degrees centigrade, which is the body temperature, and we ran the extractions in graphite furnace atomic absorption spectrometer. And at the end of the growing season, we took our samples, we took our vegetables, and we only analyzed the edible portion, and we followed three cleaning techniques. First cleaning technique is laboratory cleaning method. Here, sodium lauryl sulfate is involved, and this is a detergent so that we can detach all the attached soil particles to our plant produce by laboratory cleaning technique. And we did kitchen cleaning. That is the way we do in our kitchen in day-to-day life, just using tap water. And for carrot only, we did peeling. So for carrot, we had three cleaning techniques, laboratory, kitchen, and peeling. So after drying these samples, we ground the samples. Then we digested using microwave digestion unit, again with nitric acid, and ran the digestate in graphite furnace atomic absorption spectrometer. So let's look at my results and discussion. So soil chemical properties first, and compost addition had increased soil nutrient content as we expected, and more importantly here, the total lead concentration has been diluted by 59% in compost added soils compared to no compost added soils because of adding compost material into soil material. And as a combined effect, overall effect in compost added plots, we observed high biomass content than the no compost soils. And let's look at the lead concentrations in vegetables. So this graph shows lead concentration in Swiss chard, and y-axis is in lead concentration in milligrams per kilogram, dry weight basis. And I have the compost and no compost here. So compost addition was significant in Swiss chard lead concentration. Compost addition had reduced 59% of lead in Swiss chard. And cleaning technique was also significant. Lab cleaning had reduced 67% of lead compared to kitchen cleaning technique. So by looking at this graph, you can identify that Swiss chard had absorbed some amount of soil lead into it. So is it safe to eat, consume this Swiss chard? So we can find that out by comparing the values with standards we have. So we have Codex, maximum limit, and this represents FAO and WHO. So we used a 2009 amendment. So for leafy vegetables, Codex maximum allowable limit is 5 milligrams per kilogram in dry weight basis. So the concentration of lead in Swiss chard is lower than the standard limit. And if you look at the same thing with tomato, the lead concentration in tomato, and the compost was not significant in this case, partly because of we analyzed only the edible portion, and we are talking about only moderately contaminated soils, not very high contaminated soils. And the lab cleaning technique again had reduced the lead concentration in tomato compared to kitchen cleaning technique. And if you compare the values with Codex MCL, the values were far more below than the maximum allowable limit. And the same thing with carrot also. Here we saw the compost effect. So compost effect was significant. Compost addition had reduced 20% of lead compared to no compost soil. But the cleaning technique was not significant with carrot. And if you compare the values with Codex limit, MC maximum allowable limit, which is 1.5 milligrams of lead per kilogram of carrot in dry weight basis, and this limit is for root vegetables, not exactly for carrot, and the values of our carrot was much more closer to 1.5, which is the limit. So there is the question, is it safe to grow carrot and eat this carrot in this site? Let's look at the bioaccessible lead, which represents direct exposure pathway. And with compost, again, compost had reduced the bioaccessible or the PBAT lead concentration. And this could be a combined effect of diluting soil total lead and increasing soil available phosphorus followed by compost addition. And there are some research published out there talking about available phosphorus stabilizes lead within the PBAT extraction process. And we can elaborate on that point by comparing bioavailable lead with total soil lead and total available phosphorus. So here, in no-compost soil, there is some correlation between bioavailable lead or bioaccessible lead and total soil lead. But with the addition of compost, the correlation had been disappeared. So the reduction of bioaccessible lead with addition of compost could be because of reduction of soil total lead with the dilution effect and increment of available phosphorus in soils. And so far we looked at only the moderately contaminated lead, moderately contaminated urban soils. So would everything be the same with highly lead contaminated urban soils? So we have a site with high concentration of lead in Philadelphia. The concentration of lead is 1600 to 2100 in milligrams per kilogram. And here we did some preliminary analysis. There's no any treatment added here. So we have PBAT lead, which is bioaccessible lead, and PBAT lead as a percentage of lead. And we have two root crops, carrot and beet, and two leafy crops, leafy vegetables, mustard and lettuce. So in here you can see bioaccessible lead or PBAT lead is very much higher compared to the lead concentrations in plants. So this proves that the direct exposure pathway is the main exposure pathway, the most significant pathway. But if you look at the percentage of PBAT by dividing the PBAT with total lead concentration in the land, so it has very low percentage. So very low percentage of total lead will be bioaccessible. But it could be significant with the increasing of total lead concentration. And if you look at the plant data here, so we have carrot and beet as root crops. So the concentrations of carrot and beets were higher than the concentration of lead in mustard and lettuce. And you can see the concentrations, range of concentrations here. And these values were very much higher than the maximum allowable limit of Codex. And if you look at mustard and lettuce, the values are very much similar to the values we observed in moderately contaminated land, and the values were below than the maximum allowable limit. So with that, I would like to conclude that compost amendment reduced bioavailability of lead in urban soils, and thorough cleaning of vegetable is an effective precaution to further reduce the food chain transfer of lead, and root crops accumulate more lead compared to leafy vegetables and fruiting vegetables, and current residential soil limit of 400 milligrams per lead per kilogram seems to be overprotective for most of vegetable crops such as leafy vegetables and fruiting vegetables. So as ongoing research, we are currently looking at the speciation of these soils so that we can support our bioavailability data more. And I would like to acknowledge the funding agency, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and Washington Wheatley Community for providing us support with doing some field work, and Department of Agronomy, then the Soil Chemistry Group, for providing me a lot of support with field activities and lab activities. And that's all my presentation. Thank you for your attention. I would take them.